What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing?
Doing good. Running and running. NBA content never sleeps.
Yes, sir. Plenty of stuff to talk about today. But before we get started, first off, you can find the show iTunes, Box Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But want to give a quick shout out to the staff at OGG Basketball, doing an excellent job, especially the core staff really stepping up. And you can check out all the work, obviously, for OGG at OGGBasketball.com and find us on Twitter at OTG Basketball. But Corey, I know you're probably pretty happy about this. What did you think of the news that the Players Only broadcast will no longer be around this season?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So that's awesome. That's great news, actually. We've been pretty hard on the Players Only broadcast in the past. It's just more so a lot of talk about the good old days and not actual content about basketball. It's just a bunch of guys basically talking, which isn't bad. I know that there are people who enjoy the Players Only, but for me, I'd rather have actual analysts. I'd rather have there be more talk about the game. Or just have nothing and just have music on. But besides the point, the Players Only broadcast was a little bit rough at times, especially depending on what kind of group they had going on.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest key is like the group. There's some guys who I thought did a solid job, or you could see the possibility that maybe working with another play-by-play guy and having some success. But a lot of the times they got away from talking about the actual game or the current storyline with those teams. It ended up being like just NBA talk. And then also at other times, they really didn't know what they were talking about in terms of players on X roster or what they were good at. And I think that's, you know, disheartening to people who are trying to make it in the NBA media world, or people who put in a ton of work who don't get the recognition that they deserve, when you see other guys who are just, you know, talking on TV because they're former NBA players.
Yeah. And I think I don't want to say that a lot of people feel this, but I certainly felt to a degree that it's worrisome as us who are in the sports media world when you see all of these positions getting filled up by players. So it's also nice for us as media members knowing that there are some more positions opening up for us.
Exactly. And I think it's, you know, long as I have nothing against players getting those positions, long as they're actually working, trying to do that. Like a guy like Jalen Rose, who puts in a lot of work, has his job with ESPN, like you appreciate what he does. And then other guys who are working at it now, so when they retire, they have a feel for what's going on. You can tell like some guys, especially like the big names like Shaq and Charles Barkley, like a lot of times they don't even know players on the roster. They have a show on TNT where they have to guess which team this player is on.
So, yeah.
Not ideal, but, you know, we're happy about that. Talking former players, what do you think about Tim Duncan becoming an assistant coach for the Spurs?
Poetic.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan, who was the prophet or prodigy of Greg Popovich from a coach-player standpoint, now will have a spot on Popovich's bench. And who knows? You know, he's going to be getting a to be groomed. We know how Tim Duncan is with players. We know he's got a very high basketball IQ. So he could be positioning himself for possibly the San Antonio job in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really fitting and something that probably some people anticipated. You know, Duncan's been around the Spurs facility. You always saw him working with younger players. Makes a lot of sense. You know, either probably Tim Duncan or Becky Hammon might end up being the future Spurs head coach. You know, Pop's around 7 years old, so he's not going to be able to coach forever. Really interesting stuff. And I think it gives some nice morale probably for the locker room. And then also for the fan base. You know, I was talking to a Spurs fan today, and they were just super pumped about it. You know, getting one of your all-time great players to come back and coach. And you feel like he can make the transition better than some other former players too.
Yeah, definitely. Between him and Becky Hammon, those are both very worthy guys to take over Pop. Well, girl and man, or woman and man, to take over Popovich's seat once he's gone. I think it's a solid move. Like you said, he's been around the facility. I mean, he's always at training camp, and there's a lot of videos of him in the gym. You know, still, you know, practicing with everybody. So it's good to see.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like it's going to actually work out, and I don't even need any like research done. Just the fact it's like Tim Duncan, you have a positive feel for it.
Yeah.
But other big Western Conference news today, the Los Angeles Clippers had their press conference for Kawhi and Paul George, and obviously Steve Ballmer started that with a bang. What did you think about his introduction?
I mean, we know Steve Ballmer is one of the most invested owners in the league. Always on the sideline, oohing and on, and like looking like every time his team's losing that he's getting shot or physically tortured. So this is a guy who's fully invested, and you know, they pulled it off this offseason, right? They were able to get Kawhi Leonard. They were able to trade for Paul George. Granted, both these guys have, you know, two years in the future. Beyond that is a little bit foggy and cloudy. But for the next 2 years, you have arguably the best player in the league and arguably a top 10 player in the league on your roster. You have a very competent roster. You should be excited. I mean, fired up. I mean, this is a good time to be in LA.
Yeah, I mean, you were playing, you know, you got two of the best players. I thought there was a couple comments that stuck out. You know, one, we'll start with Paul George on OKC. This was nothing that came out of the blue. We were all on the same page. The initial plan was to give it another year, see what we could do, and I did that. We played another year, and I felt like we were stagnant. Next thing was, let's move forward with other plans.
Huh. The entire goal was 1 year?
That's what Paul George said at the press conference. I mean,
I don't believe that for one second. I suppose I find that hard.
Maybe the plan was like more so in wording of, we'll give it another year to see if we can make a jump, because obviously the previous season they were knocked out in the first round.
Right.
And they wanted to see, hey, can we actually be a Western Conference contender?
I don't doubt that there was this mentality of, let's see what happens when you remove Melo and we kind of just don't have that that weird plug on the roster. I just don't know if I believe that Presti would give him the new 4 year deal with the knowing intention that they would have to possibly trade him at the end of the first year of that deal. I just don't know if I believe that, but I do believe to a degree that it was just like, let's run it back and see what happens.
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to it. Maybe it's just a word a little bit differently. But I think it was spot on when he says we were just stagnant.
Yeah, no, that's truth.
Because, like, looking at it, and we've talked about it before even the playoffs started last year, like, this OKC team just didn't have the ceiling to be a Western Conference contender. The rest of the roster just wasn't there, and there was no way for them to really get better. So I think the fact is that he saw that, and I would assume Westbrook saw that. They talked about that a little bit, his conversation with Westbrook. We're not going to get into that. But here's a quote from Kawhi, and this is on how he's choosing between the Lakers or the Raptors instead of the Clippers. I was very close, real close, but when the Clippers presented the opportunity of playing with Paul, it was easy. It was a yes. I said, let's get it going.
I don't doubt that at all. We've mentioned this when we talked about Kawhi's initial signing to the Clippers, that it felt like it was going to be the Raptors or the Lakers. And because he wanted to go to the Clippers, but they just didn't have that other star. So once they were able to say, hey, Kawhi, we're going to get Paul George, and I'm 100% in agreement with the fact that he was like, all right, I'm coming to LA then. I'm coming to the Clippers then, like without a doubt.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like you said, we discussed it before. He wanted to go to the Clippers. Paul George gave him a reason to go to the Clippers to make it worth his time. Obviously, with LA, he could have won a chip. Back to the Raptors, he had a chance of winning a chip again. So I think Paul George was like, all right, now we're actually a championship team with the rest of the pieces we have there.
Yeah.
And then this is another question. This is all via Rachel Nichols on Twitter, which you obviously can find at Rachel_Nichols. I asked Kawhi when he first knew he wanted to play with Paul George. This is what Kawhi had to say. I was trying to get him to San Antonio to get him over to us. You know how things work with trades. He ended up with the Thunder, but that's probably when the initial idea started, when he wanted to get out of Indiana.
Huh. That's an interesting thought.
And I did also, I don't have the full quote on this, but Paul George said that him and Kawhi are pretty close, both being from Southern California. Obviously, no one's super close with Kawhi, but they definitely have had some type of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we also heard the comments about Paul George saying that he's talked to Kawhi, you know, earlier this season about his upcoming free agency, and he was just giving him some words of advice. And now you have to think that they were talking about teaming up then. If they were talking about teaming up when he was in San Antonio, I'm guessing the call back in March had to be along the similar lines.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think these guys talk a lot more than people anticipate or is reported, because like, hey, if, you know, like let's say you and I are talking about possibly getting a job at another place together. Like it might not happen right away, but it might be something we talked about like a year or two ago.
So and it's also, you know, and things just change, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like we've had conversations where we go, like we're going in one direction and then 5 months later, maybe we're not going in the same direction. And I feel like that definitely happens to players. You know, you have a certain part of the season, you're like, yo, I would love to team up with you and like play. A couple months go by and you're like, yeah, this is not, I don't want to go there anymore. So let's see if we can work it out, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah, I think 100%. You saw with the Kyrie and Kevin Durant thing. So I think player relationship is, as we've known the last couple of years, has been a crucial part of, you know, the free agent process. And now it seems it's becoming even bigger.
Yeah.
Now, just last one on this, and this is Rachel Nichols again. Both guys asked about their rivalry with the Lakers. Kawhi, as far as basketball, the last few years, the Clippers have been better. Paul George, we got our own identity. We are chasing something else. We're not looking at the Battle of LA. We got bigger things in mind.
I mean, their identity is defense.
Yeah.
Mainly. This is they got three of the best perimeter defenders on one team. And obviously Pat Beverly being the third. No, I mean, this is definitely, they don't care about LA. They don't care about the Lakers. Like, yes. When they possibly face the Lakers in the playoffs, they're going to care because that's a matchup that is in the way of them getting to the NBA finals and winning an NBA title. But that is what this is all about. Kawhi has shown that between being in San Antonio and Toronto, the man's about winning rings. The thought of him winning three rings on three different teams, especially on possibly back-to-back years, would be something extraordinary. And then Paul George, of course, hasn't really had much playoff success in the last, you know, handful of years. You know, a bunch of first-round exits between Indiana and OKC. So he's trying to get back to that elite status where he's having deep playoff runs and playing a lot of meaningful basketball. So this is right on par with where I think they're trying to move the Clippers organization.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, Paul George even said, you know, it's not a battle of LA. We have bigger things in mind. And I think that's the mentality to have, because if you're trying to just become the bigger team in the city, it's not really going to matter. But if you win championships, that's when you really start to make some noise. And with these two, that's a real possibility.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the USA team in FIBA, and there's just been like a ton of dropouts, like a crazy amount of all-stars have dropped out. Before we get into like the actual dropouts, we'll look at the current roster. Backcourt currently, as of today, you know, July 24th, you got Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell, Kyle Lowry, Marcus Smart. Then for the wings, you got Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, PJ Tucker, Harrison Barnes, Jaylen Brown. Then for the front court, you have Andre Drummond, Miles Turner, Paul Millsap, Kyle Kuzma, Brook Lopez, and Thad Young. Thoughts on this squad?
I really like it, actually. Now, granted, these aren't the big-time all-stars that we're accustomed to seeing. These aren't the superstars. But, I mean, eventually guys do have to leave. Obviously, some of these guys are still in their prime that dropped out. But I like the fact there's a lot of young guys on this team. I mean, it's not to be a dick. It's not like we're going to lose. Like, realistically, it doesn't matter who we put out there. The U.S. team should probably win. But I like the new guys are getting the opportunity. Some of these young guys are going to play some big-time basketball for their country, the USA. And then you just got some interesting guys in there. Like, you know, Thaddeus Young's a guy. Like, that's a guy who always works his ass off. And for him to get the opportunity to play for Team USA, I think is pretty special. Same with P.J. Tucker. And even Marcus Smart to a degree. Those three guys aren't guys you think of as Team USA worthy. All very good competitors, all tough as nails, and they're all going to get the opportunity to play on the biggest scale for a gold medal. So I understand the disappointment in they're not being superstars and all-stars, but these are still some of the top players in the league with a lot of young guys around, some solid vets.
Yeah, I think the team's still really good, but I think the competition has gotten closer. Like that, I mean, with the, you know, obviously the players that have dropped out, it would have been a clean sweep, easy. I think this year it's going to be a little different. A lot of these guys, it's the first time they're playing international basketball. It's going to be a lot for them to gel. So it'd be interesting. It's going to, obviously, Greg Popovich is coaching, how we can kind of get that all to work with a lot of these guys very quickly and to see what the actual current roster is. I think you did bring up a great point talking about the young guys and now this being some of the core for the USA team moving forward. Because you have guys like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you know, Miles Turner, these young guys they can kind of build around for the next couple of years. It'll be interesting how they can all gel so fast and like how these skill sets really work. Because, I mean, you look at the roster and there's like not really a ton of guys that are like, okay, he's clear cut like the best guy on this team. So it's going to be interesting how they go about that.
Yeah, and I think especially like, you know, if you're like the older guys, you know, as we see players break down to a degree and we see like the contracts going up and I just don't think the old guys who have already been there for a couple of years, some of them already have gold medals. It's just like, what's the risk versus reward? Like why do I want to play to a degree? Well, as these young guys, you know, this is their first experience. Like you said, that they could be the core going forward. Cause realistically, if you look at the Team USA teams over the history, I mean, it is generally a lot of vets, and this is one of the first times we're getting a real young team.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, you know, this is going to be, I believe, for the FIBA World Cup. So it won't be for the Olympic team. It'll be interesting to see if some of these guys try to come back after, you know, they don't want to compete in the World Cup, but they want to compete in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's something to keep an eye on, because it just seems like one guy dropped and then all of a sudden, you know, you saw six guys drop. Kevin Love, the latest guy to drop. Dame Lillard, I think, dropped earlier this week. So I think most of the guys that are there right now will probably stay. One guy I could maybe see drop out would be like Kyle Lowry, because I think he just had thumb surgery. And I wouldn't rule out the possibility of like Kemba Walker dropping out. But he said he wasn't going to, so I don't know.
I think Kemba wants to play to a degree, because this is also like, you know, you get to play with some of his teammates.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of getting some chemistry going with some guys. And then like Lillard dropping out, I get it. This dude got banged up in the end of those playoffs. So for me, I just feel like it's him just trying to protect his body. And then Kevin Love, the guy hasn't really been able to stay healthy. And I think ideally, if you're Kevin Love, you hope you're going to get traded at some point this season, like by the deadline. If I had to guess, I don't think he wants to. I mean, I'm sure he would be okay with staying in Cleveland and just kind of being the mentor and, you know, being a positive force in that locker room. But I think a part of him would like to get moved and play for a team that's actually playing for something this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's a great point too. You know, I think a lot of guys, especially getting healthy, is important when they've been banged up the last couple of years or whatever it may be, kind of focusing a little bit more about themselves after already having the U.S. team experience.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pass it over to you.
We got some hot take, shot fake, the usual. As we've been kind of saying, and we went to the gym the other day and we shared some laughs at some of the bad takes we've seen on Twitter, because everyone's just like itching and scratching to get off the hot take to this point in time.
It's that time of year, you know?
Yeah. So
we had too much to talk about.
So the first one. Draymond Green is not a Hall of Famer. No way, no way. Hot take or shot fake?
That's a pretty good one, I guess, in this sense, but I think it's a shot fake. You look at Defensive Player of the Year, obviously a big part of this championship team. You know, he still has to finish out the rest of his career and be somewhat successful, but he's a multi-time All-Star. You know, like I said, Defensive Player of the Year. He's a guy that's had changed. You could argue he's had a change on the impact of defensive basketball in the NBA, being such an undersized guy, able to defend multiple positions and kind of making small ball make more sense for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I think it's a shot fake. I think between the rings and the Defensive Player of the Year award, and the fact that, you know, he can still win another one, right? It's not out of the realm that he wins another title down the road, wins another Defensive Player of the Year. Who knows what his numbers and role looks like when there's not a Klay Thompson there, and might have to be a bigger force in this Warriors team this upcoming season. So I think Draymond Green is well on his way to be a Hall of Famer, and maybe even already in because of the accolades he's already accomplished, like you said.
And just the association with those Warriors teams is going to be enough to kind of help push you with the voters.
Yes. So next one, I don't know. I'm actually interested on how you lean on this, because this was one of your boys. D'Angelo Russell is much better than De'Aaron Fox. Hot take or shot fake?
That's a shot fake. He's not much better. He might be slightly better. There's an argument for De'Aaron Fox to even be better, but I think D'Angelo is probably slightly better. He's not much better.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot fake as well. And I think the much better is probably what sticks out. If he had just said D'Lo is better, I think this is like an easy one. Much better is what's just like much better. Like, no, like, these are both still two very young guards who really just came into their own this past season. You know, De'Aaron Fox obviously had a tremendous first half of the year, kind of tapered off in the second half. And then D'Lo, as we know, led the Nets to a playoff berth for the first time in, what, 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah, since now you got me on the spot. I think 2015.
Yeah. Sorry about that. but yeah, I would say shot fake. And I would actually argue that De'Aaron Fox is maybe slightly better, because I think he's a slightly better defender than D'Lo.
Yeah, I would say D'Lo is a better offensive player, but De'Aaron Fox is a better two-way player.
Yeah. Hot take or shot fake? Steve Kerr calls Anthony Davis forcing his way out of New Orleans with a trade demand bad for the league.
That is a shot fake. You know, I get like calling a trade demand bad, but AD has been there for a while. It's not like he had just signed a contract and he's like, oh, get me out of here. He was in, I think, New Orleans for like 7 years. Like, they just did not give him an opportunity to win. you know, maybe the way he went about it wasn't great, but also it seems like New Orleans wasn't willing to kind of negotiate with them. So they kind of had to leak it out. So I think it's fine. Like, there's no other way for him to get a change. And it's not like he was just there for 1 year. If AD had just been drafted and he was still in like his rookie contract and tried to demand a trade, then yeah, that's kind of bad. But the fact is he's been there for so long and they couldn't give him a team that was close to being a championship team. I don't think it's a big deal.
It's a shot fake. 7 years is a long time to give to a franchise.
Yeah.
Injury.
And he really didn't complain. Like, he wasn't a guy that was like talking shit about the franchise.
Yeah. And, you know, and we've even understood some of the struggles because that team did have a lot of injuries over the year. But even still, there comes a point in time where you literally have to say, as he said, I think on the shop one time, he's like, I had to look out for myself. Like, yeah. it was time. Like, you know, he's entering not even the prime of his career. He's 25, going to be 26, I believe. Like, this is entering. Yes, he's entering his prime, arguably. And at this point in time, why stay with the Pelicans when you haven't been able to get, you know, you got the second round appearance for the first time, but then you took a huge step back this past year.
Yeah.
Now, this one's more comical, but I thought it was funny from that ESPN graphic. Vince Carter is the best stretch big on the market. Hot take a shot fake.
I mean, I get this is a shot fake because he's not really a stretch big. I get the concept that he's going to play at the four, but like, considering
all of my mentions, they were like, you realize he played like a majority of his minutes at the power forward last season. And then upon further review, 46% of his minutes were played at small forward. So yeah, he was still playing just about half of his time at small forward. Yeah, I'm sure he did get more time at the power forward because he is a little bit slower. But like, just the term best stretch big, like, that's never been associated with Vince Carter.
Yeah, it was just like a weird terminology. I would have been better to just like best stretch forward, maybe.
Zion Williamson will not be the best rookie this upcoming season. Hot take a shot fake.
Shot fake. I'm going to go with Zion. I feel pretty good about him. And like, it would have been easy to say hot take if the New Orleans didn't give him such a good roster. But the fact the roster is really good and there's already good like playmakers and point guards on that team and there's other pieces that kind of support his skill set, I think Zion's just going to go boom.
I'm actually going to go with hot take here because I am slightly concerned about not even his weight, just the fact that he just hasn't played a lot of basketball going into the season. Obviously, you had that rookie tour basically where you're on like a press tour. You're just not in the gym able to work out quite as much. Then he gets hurt in that first game. And now, how long does he come back from that? Or when does he start like getting back in? I just think he could have a slow start. And I could see one of these rookies on one of these lesser teams possibly put up some slightly bigger numbers. But I do wholeheartedly agree that he is surely in the best situation of any of these rookies, especially going number one overall. You don't normally go number one overall and have the roster like New Orleans Pelicans do.
Exactly. Like, it's a pretty rare thing to happen to get, you know, on a team like that. And we saw it obviously with Markel Fultz with the Sixers. That was a pretty good team, but a lot of things had happened with him. And then Jason Tatum with the Celtics. And we saw how good a season Jason Tatum had being in that situation. So I'm not really as concerned with Zion because I think they'll be able to kind of fit him in, and he's still got plenty of time to get ready for the season.
Now, this one, you're probably just going to laugh it off. The Phoenix Suns will be competing for the 8th seed in the West. Hot take a shot fake.
Shot fake. Sorry to our new guy, OTG Khalil, but this isn't going to happen. The West is stacked, and the Suns roster just isn't great.
I agree, shot fake. I don't think the Suns sniff even like the 10th spot in the West, if I'm being honest.
DeAndre Ayton would have to like be a super jump. He would have to go from being a rookie center last year to being like a top 10 center that has improved his defense dramatically.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's it. Those were the best tweets I could find.
So, or the depending how you look at it, the worst tweets.
yeah, that's probably better.
But yeah, that wraps it up. You know, if you want us to touch on any thoughts, comments, questions about the current NBA, things like that, be sure to shoot us a tweet at OTG Basketball. You can always find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTG Basketball, The Time, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.